The conclusion. It is not a question of what William Wales Horne said or did not say about the Sabbath. What does Scripture say? And what Scripture says about the Sabbath is simple, clear, and unequivocal. And it says the same about the Sabbath as it says about the temple, the priesthood, the sacrifice, the feasts, the candlestick, the laver, the bread, the altar. That is, all the shadows of the Old Covenant, all of them, without exception. And it says about every last one of them that they are all fulfilled, being superseded in each case by their reality, Christ. Christ is all. Take that last. We have an altar from which those who serve the temple have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. Believers have an altar, but note it well. The altar that believers have is not the altar of the Old Covenant, the Jewish altar, even though that altar was established at God's command. For that altar, having done its work, has long since been consigned to obscurity by the finished work of Christ. So much so, it would be anathema for believers to erect an altar today, even an altar fashioned according to the pattern of the Old Covenant, as ordained by God for that time. Rome, as everybody can see, is the most blatant purveyor of the abomination of taking the Old Covenant shadows, but in her case not the Sabbath, and importing them wholesale into her system, and with what dreadful consequences for millions. But wherever, whenever, however men go back to the Old Covenant and try to bring its shadows into the Ecclesia, it is a disaster of the first magnitude. Rome or Reformed, it makes no difference. As the writer to the Hebrews makes as clear as noonday, there must be no going back to the Old Covenant. Doing so is an offence to God. Above all, it traduces the finished work of Christ. The believer's altar, in the days of the New Covenant, is not a physical construction at all. It is a person. It is Christ. Sinners can only meet with God at the real mercy seat, at the real altar, at the real place of the one finished sacrifice, in and through Christ. Christ is the believer's altar. Believers may truly say the same about all the shadows. We have a temple. We have a great high priest. We have a sacrifice. We keep the feasts. We have a candlestick. We have a laver. We have the sacred bread. The scriptures which prove this are legion. And in every case, what we have is real, effectual, and eternal. And all of it is Christ. Consider, for instance, Christ's dialogue with the Jews over the bread. Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out." So the Jews grumbled about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." Jesus answered them, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. The truth is as plain as a pikestaff. Christ is the true bread. Christ is the effective bread. Christ is the only bread. Unless a sinner eats and assimilates this bread, that is, trusts Christ, he will perish. But if he feeds on Christ, trusts Christ, he will live forever. End of story. Any talk of manna, any talk of sacred bread of the presence, less than this, is utterly out of order. Now that Christ has come and finished his work, the old covenant with all its shadows has been abolished, having been fulfilled by Christ, who has established the new covenant. Any going back to the old covenant is to miss the glory and reality of the new, which is Christ. And this applies right across the board. Temple, priesthood, sacrifice, feasts, candlestick, laver, bread, altar. In particular, the same goes for the Sabbath, the fourth commandment. The Sabbath is not the single old covenant shadow that remains in the new covenant. Tinkering with the Sabbath, as the Puritans did by changing the day and its hours into the first day of the week, is the worst of both worlds. It tries to change the unchangeable and preserves the basic shadow. But the new covenant, of course, does have its Sabbath. Just like we have a priest and sacrifice, we in the days of the new covenant have a Sabbath. And unless we observe, keep, and enjoy that Sabbath, we shall perish. What is more, just as wrangling about the shadowy priesthood, sacrifice, bread, or whatever, misses the point, and misses it badly, so it is misguided and far worse to turn the Sabbath into a debate about a mere 24 hours of the week. To think that we in the days of the new covenant are obeying the fourth commandment by imposing a day's observance on believers, let alone pagans, is equivalent to establishing a priesthood to offer a sacrifice in a physical temple. Not only is it positively wrong, it leaves men and women grasping at a husk and risks their missing the kernel. In scriptural terms, they are clutching at a shadow while exposing themselves to the danger of falling short of the reality. And that reality is Christ himself. The picture is clear. Unless you keep, enjoy, and experience the reality of the fourth commandment, unless you observe the true Sabbath, you will perish forever. But the moment you trust Christ, you have peace with God and have it eternally. So trust Christ now and come into eternal rest.